Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
We're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve.
Sleepy? Are you jet lagged?
I don't know. I'm feeling a bit down.
Why are you down? Is it post-excitement blues?
Maybe.
Is it because of the rugby? Is that what you were excited about?
Rah, fuck, I love rugby.
Man, that Blues Hurricanes game, eh? What a drubbing. No spoilers, but wowie wow.
Wow.
Wowie wow.
No, I don't know, just not feeling. Not feeling the oomph. Yeah, I don't have enough whatever the hell it is you drink.
You need one of these. This is not really an oomph drink, it's sugar-free LMP in a 1 liter jar with ice, which you can hear. And Spats All Dark. It's basically, it's an LMP shandy.
Yeah, no, that's not what I would drink, so.
Mm-mm. It's very sweet and delicious, even though it doesn't actually contain a lot of sugar.
Well, it's a mystery. God knows what I want. Anyway, we'll kick on. I'll just ignore my feelings of moroseness.
Well, are you willing to talk about NAB?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dylan, last week the reason we were off the show is that Dylan flew off to LA and then flew to Vegas and went to this.
The
National Association of Broadcasters Conference exposition thing, which is, it's not really national, it's kind of international. It's the most massive kind of gathering of broadcast / camera / editing / production people in the world, really, isn't it? I think there's one maybe in Germany, but I don't think that's as big as
it. Well, there's IBC, which happens in the Netherlands.
Right.
And there's another one in Asia somewhere. Maybe, right. I don't know, it seems like the sort of thing that would happen in Singapore, maybe.
Mm.
But NAB is the biggest, and it's one of the biggest trade shows that happens in Vegas as well. Mm. It's like 150,000 people attend or something. So it's NAB and CES are the two big trade shows that happen each year in Vegas.
So why were you at NAB? Because all your mates were there, actually. I already know the answer to that question.
Yeah, that was the gist of it. Because it's what I do professionally, and I wanted to be, and I wanted to meet people, and in the end I actually ended up doing some work there as well, so that helped.
Handy.
But yeah, that's why I was there.
Yeah.
So I was looking at nerd toys and talking to nerd people about nerd things in the professional video context.
Right, so there will definitely be nerd things that some of our listeners will be interested in, but are there some nerd things that many of our listeners might be interested in that you saw?
Well, okay, so Black Magic, who you may or may not be familiar with.
They made the broadcast mixing thing unit that we used to make the Discourse Election Show.
The ATM1ME broadcast video mixer thing that we used for the election show.
But it shouldn't be held against them.
No, that was not their fault. they also made, last year at NAB, they came out with a 2K, so, you know, slightly larger than HD camera.
Mm.
Very strange, form factor. It has a big screen on the back. It's quite weird to hold, but
kind of looks like a 3.5-inch external hard drive, but the lens was mounted on the side of it.
Yeah, and it's a slightly odd sort of wedgy shape. But anyway, that was quite popular last year at NAB.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time for them to actually get it right. Like, they've only properly started shipping it in the last few months.
They had a lot of trouble with their sensor.
They had some trouble with some codec issues and other things. But anyway, so it records on a raw codec called Cinema DNG, and can also record ProRes and DNX HD, which are, you know, professional codecs. So it's a cheap camera. I think it's like the 2K camera, I think $3,500, something like that. Kind of a step up from a DSLR for video. Has some quite professional features in the way of audio, things like that. Professional codecs in the video format. And includes a free copy of DaVinci Resolve, I think, which is colouring software and some other things like that. So you get quite a lot of bang for your buck with that. This year, they came out with the same camera, but in 4K, or Quad HD, which is awesome because everyone loves 4K for some reason. Yeah. So that's cool. And they also came out with a more interesting camera, which is their pocket camera, which looks like, you know, well, it's like a small point-and-shoot sort of size camera.
Yeah.
Except it has an external lens mount.
Right. Is it Micro Four Thirds?
Yeah, it will be Micro Four Thirds, yeah, I'm sure. So you've got this teeny little camera but it records, it can also record Cinema DNG and ProRes and DNX HD, so professional codecs. But it's a teeny little thing. It's got quite good dynamic range, so you know, can record quite a range of light and dark colours. You
get 13
a
lot of detail stops, on
the highlights and shadows. 13 or 14, I think. Yeah. It was the demonstration they showed versus, you know, one of those versus a common DSLR, like a 5D or something like that, was quite pronounced.
Mm.
So that was cool. I don't know when it'll be shipping. Sometime in July, I think, is their target.
Looked kind of like a phone.
Yeah, it looked... The body shape of it, the most immediate thing I could think of that it reminded me of was the Samsung Galaxy camera, because it's kind of like this flat, like, pack of cards sort of size, but with, like, a slightly sticky, outy, bulbousy kind of battery-slash-handle bit at one end.
Mm.
Quite small. They had a crazy rig on the stand with... a ridiculous cinema lens on it, like just to sort of demonstrate its versatility, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Blackmagic do a bunch of other things as well, which aren't interesting at a non-professional video editor level, but they've brought out some new plugins or some new pieces of hardware and tools and things, which is good. And a new version of their Resolve color grading software, which is good.
Another thing about the Blackmagic camera...
Yes.
I think it doesn't use a memory card, it uses SSDs.
How it came about, essentially, was Blackmagic a few years ago started making an SSD recorder that you could stick on the back of your camera, basically.
Mm.
So at some point, Blackmagic's a privately held company owned by a guy named Grant Petty, who's an Australian. I think he used to be an editor. He's an Australian video guy anyway. So at some point, he decided he wanted to start making gear, and started doing so. And as far as I can tell, he kind of runs the company as his own playground, which is quite cool because he basically makes things that seem... He seems to just make things that interest him.
Yeah.
That he thinks there's a niche for, or that he wants to. So they had this external recorder, and at some point someone clearly thought, well, we could just stick a lens and a sensor in this and we'd have a camera.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's what they did. Turns out it's actually harder to make a camera than you think, so it took them a while to get it right, but they have now. Oh, the other thing that's big about the 4K cameras, it's got what's called a global sensor.
Mm. Oh, so, that's right. So something that people will probably be familiar with if they've shot video with a point and shoot or with their phone.
Just about any camera, actually.
Is what's often called like jelly cam or rolling shutter.
So the technical term is rolling shutter, or there's another word for how. But basically what happens is it reads the sensor from top to bottom, one line at a time. So if you're moving the camera from left to right, by the time it gets to the bottom of the sensor, the whole picture is skewed off in one direction. Mm. And that's common to almost all CMOS sensors. That's just how they read them, for some practical reason to do with electronics that I don't understand. CCD sensors that were more popular previously, but are more expensive and difficult to manufacture in high resolutions, they have a global shutter, which means the entire sensor is basically captured and read at once. Well, not necessarily read at once, but the information is captured and stored from the entire sensor all at once.
Mm.
So you have one single slice of time across the whole sensor. So if you're panning hard left to right, you don't get a skewed image. You just get, you know, whatever the sensor saw at that very precise moment.
Yeah.
The Blackmagic 4K camera, not the 2K, not the pocket camera, but the 4K camera has a global shutter, which means that exactly. Which is quite big because none of the other cameras have a global shutter. Even the quite sort of expensive professional ones, including the Red cameras and things, all have a rolling shutter of some sort or another. And they try and read the thing quickly and do other techniques to try and mask the rolling shutter effects. But in general, they still occur for some things. So the other one that's really common is you get like if a camera flash goes off during a frame. It'll often be brighter on one half of the frame, that sort of thing.
Mm. So I saw someone was interviewing a rep from Blackmagic, and he said, so is it a CMOS? And the guy said, yes, I can't talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, who knows? The details were a little unspecific, but I mean, they were demoing. There was a live camera there a couple of live cameras there on the stand that you could play with. So clearly they've figured out what they're putting in it. But perhaps the exact specifics on how it works aren't quite locked down yet.
Mm. Or the patent hasn't been applied for or something silly.
Yeah, patent, who knows.
Patent stuff.
But it looks good. Otherwise, I guess the other most interesting kind of... Well, there was a thing called a Movi, which kind of captured the attention of some
people. Oh, that's a stabilizer.
Yeah, so it's a gyro. It's an electronic gyroscopic stabilization system. So essentially, it's a bunch of servos. They don't actually servos; they're brushless motors. But it's like a little gimbal that you can set your camera in, and as you move the gimbal that you hold, the device has motion sensors in it, and basically stabilizes, equals out all the motion. So you can kind of shake the thing around and the camera stays level and pointing in the same direction, which is cool.
I don't understand what the purpose is of it pointing in the same direction.
Well, it doesn't have to point in the same direction. You can actually adjust it so that as you twist the thing, it twists. But
it just smooths the motion?
Yeah, smooths the motion out.
How quick was it? Did it keep up with your movement?
Yeah, it didn't seem to be able to phase it. Mm. Like, it was a very quick response and looks good, but it's also $15,000.
Hang on.
Which seems like a lot of money, $15,000 American, that is. Yeah. Seems like a lot of money for what it is, because it's not, you know, you can actually, there's open source Arduino projects to do the same thing. I mean, clearly you have to spend a fair bit of money to build the little carbon fiber body and to actually put really good quality brushless motors and encoders into it, but at the same time, it's not that complicated. So there was that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was kind of like darling of the show in some respects. There was a company whose name I forget were doing a lot of little quadcopters and things like that, but they had this really popular little quadcopter, little white one for a GoPro.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I want
one.
People loved. It was cheap.
They're about $1,000, I think, aren't they?
Well, it was $700 or something maybe, but yeah, exactly. It was cheap, and that you can. There's also like a two-axis stabilizing head available for that as well. So that was the cool stuff. GoPro was, you know, ever popular and had various moments of people crowding around their stand shouting out their name to try and win t-shirts or hats or something.
I'm deeply in love with my GoPro. I got a Hero 3 Black a little while ago, and I like it a great deal. The battery life isn't great. Sometimes the picture isn't great, but usually the picture is pretty friggin' amazing considering how tiny it is. And I've taken it snorkeling now. It came with me on my last fishing trip down at Coromandel and came with me to gather pippies and dive for kinna and swim around jellyfish. And
they're an exceedingly ridiculous amount of fun to play with.
Yeah.
And the footage they produce, even when it's not good, is often quite compelling.
Got enough.
Yeah,
good enough, and good enough, and of stuff which is interesting.
Well, and often the fact that it's just a really unusual perspective on things is enough to make it really good. I just love the idea of attaching GoPros to everything, really.
Yeah, I've
dig a hole in the sand, stick it on the spade.
I've bought an awful lot of mounts, and I've purchased some more mounts as well. They haven't arrived yet, and I've also
there's a whole range of third party mounts as well. I mean, that's another thing that is an industry. I saw the. My favourite thing at NAB, and it's ridiculous because it was just this teeny little stand right at the back and I stumbled upon it completely by accident, but there's this thing called Vector Mount, which is designed to sit on a car, essentially, and using centrifugal force and the power of the wind, it sort of spins the camera. Like, if you turn hard left, the camera starts to turn before you sort of get around the corner, and so it points to where you're going to go before you get there. It really adds an interesting dynamic to car-mounted cameras.
Mm.
And the guy who makes that also makes a variety of other little mounting accessories and things. But that's a whole other thing. And that was cool. Otherwise, there was a whole lot of, you know, high-end bullshit professional stuff that you don't care about, but that exists and continues to be perplexing to me and interesting and desirable.
Mm. I've ordered another GoPro.
Well, of course you have. You can't have just one.
You can't have one. And even though the second one hasn't arrived yet, I'm thinking about how I can justify ordering a third. Probably I should wait for the GoPro Hero 4 or the GoPro Hero 3 red or purple or whatever color they'll have to use instead of red.
I was at the show and someone came over and said, they're giving away $100 off on GoPro. You know, there's $100 off on GoPros at the GoPro stand. I was like, okay. I have cash in my wallet. I'm going to go to the GoPro stand. But it turns out what they were giving away was you sign up to their mailing list and they send you a voucher today. In fact, it turned up today in my email.
Yeah.
You couldn't actually buy a GoPro on the stand, which is a shame because if you had been able to, I probably would have come home with one.
And if that was the case, I wouldn't have been able to use your code and buy my one.
Yeah, instead you got my code because I'm not going to buy one.
Thank you.
There you go. You have
appreciate
two.
It. I guess that means I'll have to lend you. Number one, I'll have to call it Dylan.
Yeah, that GoPro can be called Dylan.
15 minutes.
I don't know what you call the other one. I don't really care.
I think I call the other one Hero 3 Black.
Oh, well, Dylan's a better name than that.
Well, I guess it is. The name only comes up, of course, when you do the Wi-Fi stuff. And the Wi-Fi stuff is just, it's so cool. It's brilliant. Yes. And I'm going to be very interested to see what it's like with multiple cameras under control of the same device.
Good luck.
Yeah. It's another thing that sucks the battery life out.
They had a huge wall of them at... two huge walls of them actually. It must have been probably 36 or something. I think it was like 6x6 grid of GoPro cameras stuck on the wall, and you could control with various wireless devices they had to play with, but there were so many people around I never actually got a chance to.
Yeah. I've seen some cool sort of bullet time rigs with GoPros. There's some kind of synchronization cable that some people have
Yeah, there's not a it's not like a product that GoPro make, but some people have figured it out, the way, yeah. way you kind of synchronize the shutter, at least enough that you can do a bullet time style.
Yeah.
They used one in the most recent of the Ken Block Gymkhana videos.
Mm. Which are absolutely full of GoPros, of course, those videos.
Of course.
So that's NAB. What was Vegas like? I've never been to Vegas. How were those prostitutes? Were they were they satisfactory? Did you get rolled?
Did not experience.
Did you do any nipple bumps?
No. The weird thing, I thought about this while I was there. I thought, I'm going to talk to Morgan about this experience on Discourse, and I'm going to try and explain what Vegas is like. I can't.
Did you go to a buffet? Did you have hot dogs? Big long ones?
No, I had a hot dog, but it wasn't like a proper one. Oh. I didn't get to stop at Nathan's. I went past two Nathan's hot dog stands and didn't actually stop at them because I was going past at a time when I was either in a rush to get somewhere else or not hungry.
Mm.
Terrible. I'm very poorly planned. I didn't eat steak every night. I think I did it wrong. I think I had knowing what I know now, I'd do a lot of things very differently. But the whole place is huge. You can't. Mm. Casinos are designed.
It's kind of huge, but it's also shallow, isn't it? Like, if you take three steps that way, you're kind of behind the facade.
Maybe the strip is quite specific. Like the big casinos are all basically one layer deep.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But that layer is a very thick layer.
Yeah, like, I mean they're big blocks, right? Each casino is a block.
Yeah, you can walk off the strip into a casino and keep walking in the same direction for 10 minutes before you hit the back wall. Like.
Right.
You know, the places are huge. And
you walk real slow, bro.
Chances are you'll just...
It's almost 40 meters. Yeah. May have had one or two drinks.
Yeah, chances are you'll just end up walking in a circle and have no idea. The weird thing is, like, in the casinos, there's never a sign for how to get out.
Yeah, of course not.
There's this monorail that connects lots of the casinos together.
Monorail! Is there any chance the track will
bend? You'll be in the main gaming floor and there'll be a sign that says monorail pointing in one direction. You'll walk in that direction and you'll never see another sign again.
Right.
If you don't know how to get to the monorail in that direction, you won't find it. Like, they don't make them easy to get out of. The whole... And so that's like the casinos like that. You know, they're designed that you kind of get lost in them. Yeah. And then the whole city is like or the whole strip is like a larger version of that. Like, I could never, like, normally I go to a foreign city and I'm really quickly get my bearings for which ways are which, you know. Like, you know, first I went to Melbourne, I was like, okay, well, that way's down to the river and that way's up, you know, and I can figure everything out from here. And then I never figured it out in Vegas. I'd get in a taxi, tell it to take me somewhere, and I'd be sitting in the taxi going, fuck, he's taking me the wrong way. And then suddenly we'd turn up where we were supposed to be, and I'm like, oh, I did not understand how we got here.
Mm.
So, the whole city is insane. From the air, I've never seen a city from the air that looks more like a game of SimCity.
Yeah.
Than Vegas. It's bizarre, I guess, because they've, you know, just built in this massive flat desert and everything has to be crafted out of nothing.
So when you were flying in, was there just a great big sign in the sky that said waiting to connect?
Yeah, basically. And then it wasn't really, it didn't work. And then what else happens in SimCity? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that happened
I didn't have to be connected to the internet though, because I fucking wasn't half the time. Terrible Wi-Fi coverage. The there's no fucking free Wi-Fi in that town.
Yeah, so I went to collect the free game that EA gave away. Two free games actually for me for the terrible experience, the terrible launch experience. They gave away a game to everyone who'd purchased. And it turned out that the giveaway period was like 5 days and I'd missed it. Those guys. They can't even get an apology right, those guys. What a pack of assholes.
I'm sure if you read very carefully in there, it would have said that, by the way, fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much right. I looked at the small print and it just said, fuck you.
Yeah. Repeatedly.
But it was personalised. It was personalised, unlike the Mighty River Power email.
I didn't get the Mighty River Power email. I feel like I failed somehow at signing up.
Yeah.
But maybe they checked me out and they're like, ah, oh, fuck him. He doesn't deserve shares.
Fuck this guy. Did they look at your bank account? They were like, nah, he's got all these kids.
Yeah, like, he can't afford shares. Fuck this.
Have I got it here still somewhere? I think I have. Here we go. Is this it? Dear percent name percent. The Mighty River Power share offer is now open and blah, blah, blah.
I don't understand why the fuck you didn't start this show with that. Hi, I'm percent name percent big mouth dickhead from the internet. Why did you not do that?
Because I'm not as clever as you. You go back and fix it now? Your unique reference number is MRP paren 00000000 close paren. That doesn't sound very unique. So? I mean, it might be. It might be. What are the chances, though? Hey. What are the chances? So we've been told from
that I didn't get a Mighty River Power offer. Here's the receipt. Yeah. I got the receipt of my pre-registration.
Yeah.
But I never got the email for the actual offer.
Hmm. I'm still not sure if I'm going to buy because I kind of want to own them, but I don't necessarily want to. Because I think a lot of people might want to
I did get it.
I don't know when the best time to buy is.
It went to my spam.
And does it say percent name?
Hang on.
Or does that say Dills, no chills, no Billsnoid?
No, that's not even I don't even know what this is. Mighty River Power share of document registered that was on. No, I just got like a pre thing saying we're going to email you a thing.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even get the fucking, geez, terrible. I didn't even get the, email. I feel so left out.
Yeah. You've been left out. Now you'll get it.
I'm not going to buy shares then.
It'll arrive.
Just fuck it.
It'll arrive. So I don't know when to buy. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if buying in advance is the best time or if I should wait for a possible kind of, you know, post-opening day reality check. Yeah, when lots of people are like, wait a minute, why did I get these fucking shares? But I don't know. There seems to be some free bonuses that the government is chucking in there.
It's not huge, though.
It's not huge, but it's more than most shares get.
So my thoughts on it is I don't really want to encourage the sale by buying, but I don't think that really matters.
No, not when it's as oversubscribed as it is. Of course, it was obligation free, so. Yeah.
The other thing is I don't really care. I mean, I care, but I don't really care.
I don't care enough to buy shares of all the next bloody five SOEs that are no doubt going to be split up and sold off. So I don't know why I should care about the first one, so we'll see.
Speaking of SOEs that are split up and sold off, but not really, Orcon is a new owner.
Yeah, who is it?
Oh, I don't know, some private consortium of people who want to buy things. That's not really important. So Orcon was a private company, and then the private company was sold to Cordia, who are a state-owned enterprise. They used to be part of TVNZ.
They were called BCL once upon a time.
They were. They got snapped off into a separate company called Cordia. And they manage, among other things, fiber networks and the main broadcasting networks around the country. And they also bought an ISP, a retail ISP, for some reason. They thought it was a good idea at the time. They've changed their mind and they sold it, which is fine, whatever. Don't really care about that particularly. But Claire Curran issued a press release saying National's selling more assets, basically.
National's got fucking nothing to do with this whatsoever.
It's the most... It frustrates me when politicians do dumb things. Claire Curran, of all people, should understand that the government doesn't run SOEs. The government hires a board and CEOs to run state-owned enterprises. The government is a shareholder.
And they can do that very strategically. Decisions. And the best example of that, I think, is TVNZ, where you know there's a board which is pretty much dismantling the whole company.
Yeah, I mean, and they can communicate specifically in TVNZ's case. They can communicate that our largest priority for you is to return a dividend to us, but they still don't actually dictate, you know, what the company does on a day-to-day basis. They don't, for example, say, hey, TVNZ, you should invest a whole lot of money in TiVo because that seems like a really fucking good idea.
God damn, that was such a mistake.
They don't do that. Instead, they just sit there and say, give us fucking money, and by the way, don't go thinking you need to do anything in the public interest. Just give us money, please. Thank you. And it's essentially the same thing that happens with Cordia. Cordia is not a state asset. Well, it's a state asset and earns money for the state, but it's not, you know, it's not a nationalised asset. It's a state-owned enterprise.
So something that came out in the story is about the sale of
Clear Current should know better. It's annoying and it's bullshit politicking.
Yes, it's a failure. It's a bit of an own goal, frankly. I didn't know that Auckland only had 60,000 customers. That seems very small.
What's the overall market? How many customers are there?
Must be a million.
No, more than that, surely.
I bet Telecom have like 400,000.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Hag had 60,000 when I was working there.
And that's why this is just so absolutely jaw-dropping to me that it's about 60,000.
Well, there you go. I'm one of them for the moment.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know, this sale means I might be less likely to stay with them. But, I mean, I guess I'm pretty happy with the service. They might get better. They might get much worse. I mean, these new owners, they need to make a profit, right? They need a return. And possibly...
I don't have much problem with Auckland in general. Yeah. I know some people are having problems with the unlimited service. I don't have that problem. But what I do have a problem with is I fucking hate their call centre.
Yeah. You don't want to talk to the Philippines.
The people in the outsourced angle side of it are terrible.
Yeah.
Not that they're terrible, I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they just don't have skills or information that they need to do their jobs properly.
Yeah.
Outsourcing failed.
Well, perhaps the new owner will insource the call
center. That would be nice to see. That would certainly do a lot, I think, to make a lot of existing customers happy.
It's a very expensive thing, a call center. It's a lot of staff. Staff are expensive.
Well, and training.
Yeah. So let's... I've got a theory. So we spoke a little bit about the new milk bottles.
Oh, hey, by the way, Today is, of course, Thursday when you're listening to this, at least Thursday, later than Thursday. So yesterday we passed a marriage equality law, probably.
Good for us. Yippee.
Yeah, that's not in the future at all for us.
No.
It's definitely the past. It's happened. Well, hey.
I think if people are around, I guess people who are on the live stream now, I think it's going to be, the estimate was that it would be about 8 p.m. on Wednesday night.
So, yeah, those estimates are always very poor.
Yeah, 8 to 8.30. So who knows when it will actually be, but sometime around then probably. I hope it happens. I really hope it happens. I can't
see any way that it won't.
Australia got it wrong.
Did they?
Yep, and some of the polling initially was in favour of passing. Oh my god.
Yeah, but this isn't polling we're talking about now. This is, we've already had, you know, these same MPs have already voted on these issues. And there's, you know, nothing significant has happened that seems likely to have changed very many of their minds.
Yeah.
I think certainly if more than one or two have changed their votes, I would be very surprised, and they will face a lot of public questioning about why and how and things like that, if they did.
Yeah. So if it went the way that Dylan expects it to go, and if it went all wrong,
And now the news.
So we spoke about the new milk bottles a couple of weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure I've figured out why they're really doing it.
Okay.
I think that they're changing the milk. I think that Anchor are planning on changing the way they make the milk, and it's going to look different. Not so different that when you pour a glass of it, you won't be like, "Oh, that's just milk," but different enough that when it's in clear bottles next to other manufacturers' real milk, you'll be like, "What the shit is going on there? That is the wrong colour." And so I think that they've covered it up. It's got nothing to do with light.
I find that unlikely, but fine.
It's sane and reasonable, my theory.
Okay. Seems implausible.
Next story.
Fewer people drinking, says survey.
Milk. Fewer people drinking milk.
Fewer people are drinking, and younger people are drinking more responsibly, the government's latest survey shows. Peter Dunn says that the survey reports that 80% of the adult population consume alcohol, down from 84% in the previous survey. All age groups reported falls.
Walking on the margin of error here.
4%? Yeah, I guess it is. It was particularly a notable fall in underage drinkers aged from 15 to 17 years old. So basically that means what's the fuss, doesn't it? So if you hear people grizzling about the drinking problem we've got, then tell them to stop grizzling because it looks quite clearly like it's getting better.
Well, yeah, I think I'm sure we still have some drinking problems, but...
Rates of hazardous drinking among people aged 18 to 24 dropped to 38% from 49%.
Are you saying 49% of people in that age group were drinking hazardously?
Apparently.
Jesus Christ.
Hazardous drinking rates for males in general have fallen from 30% to 26%. But they are virtually unchanged for women, only dropping 1% from 13 to 12.
Yes. Of course, it's easier to make a larger drop from a larger number.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Next story.
Do you want to do this Boston thing?
Oh, God. Jesus. So, you're listening to this on Thursday or later, but today is Tuesday and a whole fucking horrible shitload of shit happened in Boston. Some bombs exploded, some people died, some other people lost limbs, and it was horrible. And as I speak, we don't know who did it or why, but of course we assume it was Muslims because they hate, I say us, I mean Americans, and their freedom.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it. Horrible, shitty horribleness. Twitter was very interesting, as usual in these kind of events, where there is a combination of very good information and very poor information, although I still think that Twitter does a very good job of refuting poor information quite effectively, quite quickly, whereas perhaps cable news and general news coverage does a much poorer job of that. They will perhaps cling on to a piece of shitty information and repeat it many, many times before either just silently dropping it or maybe acknowledging that there was some mistake.
Yeah. I literally could care a lot more about this and possibly couldn't care much less. I'm sympathetic to the people that were actually involved. I don't know anyone who was involved. And on the whole, it was a very minor event. This is probably not even the worst murder that happened in the States that day. In terms of the number of people who were also injured, you know, that was obviously a significant number, 100.
So but, here's the thing,
but
right?
In Iraq today, 55 people were killed in car bombs. Two people died in Boston. It's not significant.
You know, we had an earthquake in Auckland and everywhere else in the country was like, oh, you fucking wusses. It's like that. Bombs don't explode in Boston very often, or in fact anywhere in the States very often.
People get killed all the time. It's just some murderer.
It is. But the fact that two bombs explode, you know, at the same time in a highly populated, highly publicized event makes it incredibly newsworthy. The fact that a whole lot of people died.
I'm not saying it's not newsworthy. I'm saying I'm not affected by it and I don't really care very much. And actually, I think that it is a legitimate strategy to respond to terrorism with just disinterest because they are trying to make you care and they're trying to make you afraid. If you make the decision to not care, you are literally not afraid and you are now immune to terrorism because, you know, statistically, you won't be directly hit by it. You know, you will not be killed by terrorists because there's very few of them. And on the worst terrorism day that ever happens, you know, your chances are just vanishingly small that you will actually be directly affected by it.
Yes, of course. I mean, I don't know.
So but don't care. Say, be sympathetic to the families of the victims. But beyond that, don't make a big deal of it. It's some murderer. Catch him, punish him, and move on.
All right. Of course, having also been through a number of airports in the States lately, God damn it, that fucking shit sucks.
And it's more or less pointless.
It's entirely pointless. Take off your shoes. Really?
When you see the things that seem to be routinely missed, like loaded firearms and explosives seem to be routinely missed at those checks. It's not just nail clippers that are being, you know, that are missed. I think nail clippers are allowed again now. It's not just scissors that are being missed. It's actual, you know, real weapons that could genuinely be used to take over a plane and kill a bunch of people. You know, even worse stuff than they used in the 9/11 hijacking, which was just box cutters. Let's not forget that. A razor. Yeah. A razor, right? And people can take those on planes again now. You know, the theatre is bullshit. So, you know, be sympathetic to the actual victims, but don't make yourself a victim by caring more than you really need to.
But the theatre is the response. It's the result.
That's right. And that is the intended result for the terrorists. By doing that, you are giving them the win. It's an own goal.
I don't think it was initially. But I think it probably is now.
Oh, no, it's how terrorism works, right? You get a much greater effect than the actual damage that you cause.
Oh, no, exactly. But I don't think, you know, when people were planning to fly planes into the World Trade Center, I don't think they had any concept of what actual effect that was going to have on the US.
Yeah, I doubt they thought that people would still be lining up and taking their shoes off 12 years later. I agree with that.
Sure, once people saw how that impacted, you know, security and freedom and, you know, civil liberties, it became obvious that you could just keep doing similar stupid things to make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, now we stand with our hands above our heads and get photographed naked.
Yeah.
Because some dude put a bomb in his undies.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And didn't even manage to blow it up.
No, of course not.
He failed.
Need to either. That wasn't even the point. Good God.
Yeah.
Nice one. Anyway, terrorism sucks. Killing people is a shitty thing to do. And oh my God, I saw the most singly fucking graphic image I think I've ever seen on the internet today in the news coverage of this Boston thing.
Yeah.
So
I did my best to avoid seeing that stuff. I think, it's none of my business.
Fair enough.
I think it's disrespectful. It, you know, this salaciousness, if it bleeds, it leads, right? You know, death is intimate. You know, it's not for everyone. It's for, you know, the family who are now going to grieve. Think about how they feel about, you know, bits being exposed, you know, pieces of body. It's not, I don't think that is actually, I mean, it's news. Obviously, it's news. When I say that, you know, be sympathetic with the families and move on. I'm not saying I think it's not significant. I'm just saying, you know, I personally didn't feel particularly affected.
I understand.
Yeah. Perhaps marginally more affecting.
Next story.
Prime Minister John Key's claims that hackers are targeting this country for information to help create weapons of mass destruction are a bid to distract New Zealanders from his law changes allowing the GCSB to spy on us.
There are two issues here, I think, separate to one another.
Yeah.
One is that he wants to change the laws that affect the GCSB.
Because they were acting illegally and he wants to make that legal.
Yeah, maybe there's an argument to be had there. And the other one is the reasons he gave for it. I have no reason to... I'm sure that he's basing that on some actual thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Yellow cake. Yeah, sure.
Well, whatever, but I'm sure... You know, well,
WMD! No, WMD, Dylan! WMD! It's very reasonable.
When you consider that New Zealand is home to Raycon, who make, among other things, guidance chips that end up used in things like cruise missiles, I'm sure that there may be some sort of espionage case that was involved with perhaps them or their technology that could form the basis of what he was saying. Doesn't really matter.
Anyone who could make use of that information is a country called China. And
well, it may be someone just, you know, trying to do an online order. Hi, can you send me a couple of guidance?
Probably, yeah, probably. But the reality is that these smaller scale things, these kind of jerry-rigged, kind of homemade terrorist style, improvised rockets and so on, they don't use guidance systems like that. And you can buy Arduinos and so on with a bunch of, add-on sensors. Gyros and horizon sensors and GPS stuff and all of that. And you don't need to break any laws. You can just buy them off the shelf. That stuff is pretty trivial now.
I don't like the idea of changing this law in response to this, but at the same time, I'm like, actually, why not? So
I'll tell you why not. You should never make laws reactively.
Well, no, but that's fine. I mean, I don't think he's proposing changing the law to make the things that have happened legal. I think he's changing the law to make not illegal things happen allegedly accidentally in future.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? So in the cases, the 88 cases or whatever, the 88 people that the GCSB has surveilled in some way that they weren't supposed to, they apparently did it at the request of the SIS and New Zealand Police, both of whom have legal means of, you know, both of whom are legally allowed to investigate New Zealanders.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, fundamentally I'm like, well, then why not?
Honestly, I think it's weird that the GCSB wasn't legally allowed to spy on New Zealanders.
The separation between the SIS and the GCSB kind of doesn't make sense, because if the SIS is allowed to do these things but doesn't have the technology, then either you're going to give the SIS the technology so they can do it as well, or you're going to let the GCSB help them.
I think that the important thing to me is that there's always oversight, and I think that you should always have a warrant. I think that there should always be a judge involved in the process, even if it is, you know, some kind of secret or semi-secret hearing when evidence is presented to an impartial and independent member of the judiciary who can make the decision as to whether they can go ahead or not. They should not be given the right to just do whatever they want. No one should have completely free hand and no oversight. And GCSB,
I don't really care who has the rights to do these things. What I care about is that the ability to do them is managed in some way.
GCSB answers only to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, well, that's probably not ideal.
That is their only check. And when the Prime Minister is John Key, there is literally no check. There is no hand on the tiller with that guy, right?
Strange man.
Very strange man. He has seriously got issues. Speaking of which, and actually the same story, Key rejects GCSB cover-up. Prime Minister John Key has rejected suggestions of a cover-up at the GCSB after the spy agency allegedly failed to provide a number of basic documents during a six-month investigation into its activities. So have you heard of the Kitteridge report? This is the thing that was leaked and that, you know, we discovered all sorts of secrets about the GCSB.
Vaguely familiar.
Yeah. I think we don't need to talk about GCSB anymore, frankly. The first bit was enough GCSB for me. Let's go back to technology. Google Glass.
Yeah.
I'm not interested anymore.
No, neither am I. Not until something actually new happens.
Yeah. I saw
an icon today. I've seen on Google Glass. I don't really care.
I need to see them on spectacles.
Yeah.
The thing with the aluminium band, the Geordie LaForge friggin' head visor, is stupid. It's stupid. These things will be, I think, potentially an easy sell to people who already wear spectacles, because I think they can be, you know, you'll always be able to see that there's something there.
Yep.
But perhaps a little bit less obvious. But I'm tired of seeing them, and I feel like they look more stupid every time I see them. And I'm just, my interest is waning so quickly. And I was really interested previously. I was not a hater of the glass, but now I'm just,
Next story.
I'm going to get through a few quickly. Virginia mall shooter. This is one that we didn't even hear about.
I think this happened right around the same time as the Newtown massacre, so we stopped caring.
No.
It wasn't as horrible.
Nope.
No, different earlier? Anyway, yep.
Wait, was it? Let me see. Is there a date on the story? There's no date on the story because the screenshot is from 4chan, and there's no mention of when it happened. Virginia mall shooter apparently announced crime in advance on 4chan.
Oh, good.
Man arrested in connection to the shooting of two women at a suburban Virginia mall may have announced his crime minutes in advance on 4chan message board.
Okay, maybe this was, I don't know. It was like a week ago, actually. 4 days ago, I don't know.
Yeah. The alleged shooter identified himself on the troublemaking /B board on 4chan as Neil McInnes. Quote, then this is a quote from him, and I go to New River Community College in Christiansburg, Virginia, he said. The man provided his contact information with his posting. I'm a bit nervous because I've never really handled a shotgun but a few times, he said. I'm at school writing this.
This was 4 days ago. Here it goes, on Friday.
Yeah. About 8 minutes after the initial posting, an anonymous poster on the 4chan message board typed, shots fired. So the guy that posted it included a stream, I think, of a local police scanner. so that the people on 4chan who were listening along would know when he'd started his attack. Shots fired, another promptly replied. I can't believe this is fucking real. What the fuck? A little later on, somebody else wrote, it's hip-hip-happening. Hip-happening. It's hip-hip-happening. Apparently, when they get excited, they can't type very well. The message later dropped from 4chan. A reliable source took the below screenshot of the thread while it was still live. It is not safe for work. I might not even link that one in the show notes, actually, but maybe. The thing that I can see is just a photo like of his school. And he talks about what he's about to do.
45 minutes.
What a nutter. What a nutty nutter.
Next story.
Other people who are nuts. Back to technology. Good news, everybody. So do you remember a week or two ago, there was a guy who was like the Xbox producer or something, Microsoft guy, who was medium high level, actually, it seemed. His name was Adam Orth. And he said that the next Xbox was going to be, well, he didn't actually say the next Xbox is going to be always on. What he said was, everything's always on. Get over it. What's the problem? And then said, why would anyone live like not in San Francisco where you have more reliable internet and so on? Well, he doesn't work at Microsoft anymore. Huh. Congratulations, dickhead. Get the fuck out. Clear out your desk and get out.
Yeah, so if you work for a company, it does sometimes pay to think quite carefully what you're about to say about your company.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, here's what he said. Sorry, I don't get the drama around having an always-on console. Every device now is always on. That's the world we live in. And, you know, maybe there is even something to what he says, but the thing is, people don't want games to be like this. You know, multiplayer games have to be online. Single-player games, why require them to be online? Right? There are different kinds of game. Don't force all kinds of game to require, you know, particular resources that they shouldn't really need because it's stupid. Anyway, this guy was badly out of touch and now he's out of work. What a tool. Congratulations, Adam Orth. You're all kinds of meme and not particularly good ones, generally speaking.
Next story.
Other people who got their comeuppance. Do you remember there was a lawyer who went after the oatmeal who's called Charles Carrion?
Oh, yes, I do remember him very well. It was such an exciting time.
So he demanded a settlement from Oatmeal for what Matt Inman, the Oatmeal guy, had said about a site called Funny Junk, which was illegally hosting copies of his comics. And Carrion was acting as that site's lawyer. And Inman like raised heaps of money and gave it to charities, and then this guy doubled down by threatening to sue those charities, and it was just absolute madness. But the judge has decided that award is going to be anyway. Inman basically got off everything, and Carrion has to pay $46,100 for his misdeeds.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yep. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. I'm very tempted to say, use a phrase I've used twice already in this show. If anyone decided that they'd have a drinking game, if I'd say it again, drink. But an own goal, wasn't it?
I do. Oh, man. That I just remember. I remember at the time when that was happening, and we talked about it on the show, and each week it just got more and more insane.
Yeah.
Because there was like, it started out with the threats, and then the next thing that was happening was
he was like threatening the Cancer Society, and like
and his wife was abusing people on the internet. Oh, mm-hmm. Fuck! It was so amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Real
that
nutter.
Was awesome.
Real nutter. Yeah, it was fantastically entertaining.
Next story.
Also entertaining. Microsoft are working on a smartwatch. This is basically them saying, me too, me too, we're still relevant. Microsoft are basically, at this point, dead to me. They've killed the PC industry, and now they're just being a total tag-along follower. And I don't know what I can do about this. Because they're going to double down on Windows 8. They already have. There's no escape from that. That's damaging PC sales. And I don't know what happens next. I feel very alienated.
Something happens, there's a change of command at Microsoft and we get normal Windows again. Yes, maybe, yes.
I suppose it's possible.
That'd be good.
Next story.
There was a survey done by the public policy. What are they called? Public polling policy? Public policy polling? Their logo is very hard to read. I think it's probably... did I just say very hard to read? Anyway, I think it's public policy polling. I think that's what they're called. And so it's about how people, how Americans differ on conspiracy theories specifically. It's about Democrats and Republicans and what they do and don't believe. There are very interesting questions. Do you believe global warming is a hoax or not?
I see.
Do you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't believe that global warming is a hoax, no.
Well, you and 51% of Americans, 37% of them think that global warming is a hoax. 6%, wow, this one's actually quite reasonable. Only 6% of Americans think Osama bin Laden is still alive.
Only 6%? Oh, that's not bad.
Do you believe Saddam Hussein was involved in the September 11th, 2001 attacks on the US?
Totes.
28% of people do,
of course he was.
Do believe that.
Only 28?
Yeah, well, 22 aren't sure.
Oh, okay. So that's 50%
yeah.
who think he was or aren't quite sure.
Do you believe the moon landing was faked?
Do I believe the moon? No, I don't believe the moon landing was faked.
You and 84% of people.
Excellent.
Do you believe President Obama is the Antichrist? 13% of people do in America. 13% of people.
Well, and it's because he was on TV.
Yeah. So
as the Antichrist.
So there are some questions which are different. Oh, with a security guard, with a shape-shifting security guard.
No. It was in the what's the book? It was a TV series called The Bible, I think.
Oh yeah.
And there was the guy who played Satan was basically an Obama lookalike.
Right. No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was amazing.
Do you believe that shape-shifting reptilian people control our world by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate our societies or not? 7% yes. of people aren't sure.
But of course.
So there are some difficult questions. I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory to ask whether aliens exist or not. 29% of people think that they do. 24% of people aren't sure. I think it would be more reasonable if about 98% of people weren't sure. I'm not sure.
Well, it's to ask if aliens, I suppose the better thing is, you know, do aliens exist and is the American government covering them up?
Yeah. Well, that's not the same question though, is it?
No, it's not the same question, but that's what I think. That would be a conspiracy theory.
Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
sorry, pardon me, I'm yawning.
Is your conspiracy theory daylight savings? Is that your conspiracy theory?
Yeah, that might be it. 30 minutes after the shooting, the bombing in Boston, Alex Jones was already proclaiming that it was a false flag.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And then at one of the press conferences today, the first question asked at the press conference was, is this another of the many false flag attacks?
Oh, another?
Another, and then the guy was yelling about false flags and things later on in the press conference.
Roswell!
Ah, crazy. Anyway, yeah, sorry, moving on. Conspiracy theories. Oh, it just made me so... Anyway, crazy.
Next story.
What sentence would you give? So there's an article on the Herald site that gives some of the facts in various crimes... And says, what sentence do you think would be appropriate in this case?
Okay.
And it looks different from last time I loaded it. What's going on here? Oh, there we go. We can change to different. So, this man, Nathan Wind, age 23, confronted his victim, kicked him in the head, knocked him to the ground, punched him several times in the face as he lay curled on the ground, then took an empty beer bottle and rubbed it in the victim's face.
Okay.
What is a fair sentence?
I have no freaking idea.
Suffered a wound to his scalp that needed 7 stitches. He had swelling on both sides of his face. His right eye was swollen shut. His face and head were grazed. It sounds like the bottle wasn't actually broken. So he didn't get bottled. He just got threatened with a bottle.
I don't even begin to understand criminal justice, though. I mean, I accept that there are probably problems with the way we sentence people.
Yeah.
But I don't write the law. And I'm not a judge. I don't understand how it's meant to be applied. The problem, I think, I don't think we can have... I was thinking about this. Someone was talking about jury service the other day. My experience on jury service sucked.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how can jury service be better? And at the time, I thought, the answer is something along the lines of professional jurors. people who aren't judges and they're not lawyers, but they're, you know, they're just, I don't know where they come from.
A council of elders.
Well, it's basically people who are given, they're essentially normal people, but they're given a little bit of training in you know, the process of the legal system.
Some psychology stuff would probably be quite handy.
Yeah, I guess those things. And then they're allowed to make a judgment. So I think that would help the jury's thing, maybe. I don't know. And then the other problem I have with, or the problem that comes up with sentencing is,
yeah.
is judges are very subjective.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you give three judges the same case and the same convictions and they'll sentence very differently for who the fuck knows what reason. I'm not sure how you deal with that.
Mm.
But then, you know, it goes both ways. We see people who are sentenced and we think, that's ridiculous. How can they get such a light sentence? And then we see other people who are sentenced and you go, well, that's hardly... Just come on, fucking let's be reasonable about this. That's not fair at all.
Yeah, this guy got 2 years.
See, and I would think maybe 2 years. I don't know. But you don't know the circumstances in which it occurred in the first place. 2 years seems like a long time for beating someone up.
The maximum was 7 years for what he did.
Yeah, and the minimum was none, I guess.
Yeah, minimum was none.
So I don't know. I think it's inappropriate to be asking random people who aren't trained in these things to make that decision.
Yeah, but that's what the Herald did, because that's what the Herald does. 17% said that the offender should be jailed for 7 years.
Okay, well, that
the majority were in a bulge, sort of between 1 and 5 years. Kind of mainly around 2 to 3 years, which is pretty much what he got. So there you go.
By and large, we tend to probably, most people are a bit...
fucking soft, most people.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think most people would be more inclined to send someone away for longer for just about anything, really.
I think more people should be stabbed as their punishment.
Fair enough. Just and where you, the issue is just where you were stabbed, depending on what you did.
In the asshole.
Well, that, yeah. That's
four bit. Times out of five. Four times out of five.
I think we're talking cross purposes now.
That seems reasonable, doesn't it?
Very, very reasonable.
Next story.
Hugh Jackman's stalker threw an electric shaver full of her pubes at him.
How?
A deranged female, this is from the New York Post, so it probably didn't even happen. A deranged female stalker burst into Hugh Jackman's West Village gym and threw an electric razor filled with her pubic hair at him during his morning workout yesterday.
Okay.
She was screaming, I love you!
Let's address a few issues with this.
Yeah.
First of all, do you have an electric razor, Morgan?
Razor.
Or an electric shaver, do you have?
No.
No. Have you encountered one that has any capacity to store any particular amount of pubic hair? Of hair, just general whiskers.
Electric shavers? Yes, all of them do.
No, but what, store, hold internally a large amount?
Not a large amount.
Well, okay. But I guess they get some. But then the other thing is, like, then have you used an electric shaver to shave your pubic hair?
No.
If you did, how would you approach it? You wouldn't just go down there with an electric shaver. You'd first need to, you know, trim with scissors or clippers or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I'd use a shaver on
what I'm trying to get at is, how does one fill an electric shaver with pubic hair?
Well, I remember having a filler shave, which I haven't used such a thing for a long time, but under the foil heads, there was a space where the shaved off the tiny little shaved off bits of hair.
Fragments of hair. Like
exactly, but that's what this is talking about, isn't it?
Can you tell if that's pubic hair or any other sort of hair at that point?
Yeah.
And then how do you get to that? Because you can't just, you know, you don't just go straight into the bush with that. You have to, you know, you can't shave your head with that or your pubes. It's designed for whiskers, for short whiskers. You'd have to trim it right down first. I don't know. The whole thing just sounds fishy to me.
She was crying, said this person. I physically removed her from the place and called the police.
She's probably crying because she shaved her pubic hair with a shaver. She shouted her
desperate declaration of love for Jackman. She reached into her waistband and launched a dirty razor at her obsession. Cops caught up with the woman. The NYPD crime scene unit recovered the weapon. I'm not sure that's the right term. And had to pick the hairs out of it to match them with her DNA.
That sounds very implausible.
So the headline is very clearly electric shaver, and I don't know that you'd call an electric shaver a dirty razor under any circumstances.
Maybe it was two things. Maybe she had, first she had the electric razor and she threw that, and then she had like just a spare like dirty blade razor down there as well.
Yeah.
I just don't. This whole thing seems implausible.
9% of humanity would sleep with a robot.
The end.
Four.
Nice to speak with you.
3.
See you next week, everybody. That was fun.
2.
Love you. Goodbye.
9%.
1.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
Right, we're using that one.
I would ruin a robot.